Good morning, friends. Again, here we are again with an opportunity to speak about one of the most important feasts in Christianity, being a major part of the explanation of what just happened at Christmas. That's the Epiphany. The word Epiphany has found its way into the general lexicon to mean a moment of insight. Had an epiphany. She had an epiphany. They had an epiphany. But it is derived from epi and phaino, the two root words, which mean, respectively, upon and to shed light. So it's what sheds light upon something. The epiphany is what sheds light on Christmas. So both figuratively and, in fact, literally. To begin with, what's the Epiphany story? Well, these magi suddenly show up with gifts for the Christ child, and bad King Herod, being afraid himself of this apparently kingly competition, brings in the magi and asks them to tell him where the Christ can be found, ostensibly so Herod can come worship too. And we know the magi have followed the star from their homes in the east, and now they continue to follow the star until it comes to shine directly over the Christ child. Once there, they give the baby three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, go back to their own countries a different way. And the other reading for today is from the penultimate and final chapters of the Revelation of our patron saint, about the coming of New Jerusalem. The ending of sorrow and pain and death, returning to God the Father. I don't think that we have time to talk in detail about both these readings, so I'm going to concentrate on today's gospel, which is from Matthew chapter 2. There are a number of extremely interesting symbols in the gospel story. We have a star, which ends up above baby Jesus. Magi, or wise men of indeterminate number, not three as often is claimed. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's this all about? Beginning with the star. Okay, I'm going to be pretty straightforward for once. Everyone has a star connected to them. But with most people, the star is invisible, even in the astral light. Sometimes this is because it's just really, really small. Sometimes it's because it hasn't been, quote, activated. But everyone has this star, every man, woman, or offspring of their union. But it appears animals do not have it, as they have quite a different energetic structure. So what is this star? Well, if everyone has it, then in one sense you could regard it as your individuation. Or you could think of it as the aspect of you which does not fully incarnate. So you can think of it as your, perhaps, causal vehicle, your soul. Or perhaps just the gateway to your higher self. Maybe it could even be called the glory you lost in order to incarnate, shining the way that it does. Some people have larger stars, and maybe it gets larger due to the accretion of causal experience. Not life experience, but causal experience. I do want to make that distinction. Once activated, quote, unquote, it can be seen in the astral light. Folks with astral sight of varying degrees can see these stars. The star is also, I believe, the same thing as what the yogis call sahasrara, because I am told sahasrara does not actually touch the top of the head directly, but sort of floats above the way this star does. The activation of the star, which makes it visible in the astral light, can perhaps be thought of as an initiation, or even an anointing. So in one sense, that could mean that's what the star in the Epiphany story is about, the Magi activating the star of Jesus. But though it may sound promising as an interpretation, it is not consistent with the text. The star is visible pre-birth and is so big it lit the whole journey of the Magi from the east. Baby Jesus, in other words, has been around and active for a long time. Now, there was a star prophecy at around the time Matthew was written, but actually stars connecting with people are not new in associating with divine beings appearing on Earth. The star-crowned twins, the Dioscuri, or the star of the Pharaoh, well, both these come to mind, and there's a bunch of others. But going a little deeper, the star leading and arriving shows a once distant but connected spiritual soul making direct contact with its lower soul entering incarnation, now lit up by spiritual light, the bright and morning star. There's my nod to Revelation. Next, these magi are also interesting. Given they come because of the star and are called magi, they must be astrologers, as that's what the historical magi were. And interestingly, inner work is largely of an astrological nature, not in the way most people view astrology, stars predicting your fate and so on, but in another quite a bit more plastic way, even alchemical way. In this inner kind of astrology, stars and planets are viewed as all connected together like cells in a giant body, with no distance between them, and they influence each other with their, let's call it breathing. The stars all influence each other and worlds like the Earth. The planets mediate or filter the influences of the stars. The inner astrology is less concerned with prediction and more concerned with transformation, both inner and outer. Those astrologers with selfish intentions, represented by Herod in our text, seek to ride the waves of these cosmic energies to obtain increased power and influence in this world. They have done, and often still do, some really bad things in order to achieve this. This is not the wisdom tradition's way. The magi of the wisdom tradition used stellar and astral energies to transform internally and also taught others how to do the same. Once in open schools, later in secret schools, and eventually only through the inner planes. While this is not the easy path of power and license, it does lead, I believe, to lasting liberation. The easy path may garner you and your family or group more temporal power, but it will eventually lead to you being left behind. As consciousness grows steadily around you, in the people who know nothing about these practices, you who misuse the energies for temporal gain will fall further and further back. I don't mean you, but if you were one of those people. Something like this is happening in our world right now, as those who sought power are becoming increasingly desperate to hold on to what they thought should always be theirs. You may even be aware that we are going through a period of increased cosmic energy. It is felt as a subtle increase in mental and emotional pressure, which we also see expressed in behaviours. That pressure will continue to increase, albeit in waves, go up and down, because the energy density, for whatever reason, is increasing. And we know the whole solar system is affected. What was once what just a few astrophysicists measured has now become experientially discernible to all people as increased levels of craziness and, frankly, stupidity in reaction to it growing everywhere. They tell me this is what happens as ages end. So as with anything, the magi come in two polarities: wise, self-sacrificing white magi, and unwise, self-serving black magi. And as usual, both groups think of themselves as good and project themselves as good, whereas only one is really good for you, while the other is lying, especially to themselves. So that's the magi. Those visiting the baby seem to be of the wiser variety, bringing with them some interesting and special gifts. These three gifts are often said to represent the Messiah or priest-king qualities. The qualities of the one who, as they say, will, quote, stand in the gap. Thus, gold is said to represent the provisions of rulership, reminding the king to be like an abundance-giving son to his people. Frankincense to be used for intercession for the living with God, and myrrh in intercession for the dead. Well, we sort of understand gold already, so let's start with frankincense. This is an old French word meaning noble incense, but it was originally called, in Latin, oleum libanos, or Lebanon oil in Latin. But not based on geography, but because libanos, just like the word libation, is derived from the Aramaic root liban, meaning both white and milk. So the child receives a milk-like oil or a milk-like incense. Myrrh or Smyrna, the third gift, was used in death rites. In the Orphic religion, with which Christianity shares much, it was the incense offered to Poseidon, also called firstborn of God. The word myrrh is from the Aramaic murah, or the Hebrew mor. And they both come from the Akkadian root muru. And this means bitter or bitterness. So we have a reference to something white, like milk, something gold, like honey, and something bitter. They could represent our modern parlance, they could represent to us in modern parlance three energies. The golden solar energy of spiritual wealth garnered over many lifetimes, the white lunar energy of a purified moral character and source of all effective spiritual communication, clairvoyance, clairaudience, heart connection, and finally, the bitter energy of the raw water of life, the raw killing energy of the fast-flowing Great Jordan, which is both the way down and when tamed and turned, the way up to liberation. And to the best of my knowledge, our Father in heaven can lift us up by his grace to bathe in his presence, in the presence of his love, but I guess we must all strive to learn how to rise ourselves. So, how does Epiphany fit into the church year? Yes, Epiphany is to Christmas what the two voices from heaven events are to baptism and transfiguration. Acknowledgement of new learning to be undertaken. And apparently, a living crown grows, as described in the Odes of Solomon, as the inner vehicles develop. So Epiphany might be thought of as the external part of the nativity, quote, initiation into that new life, where now your lower soul is connected to your higher soul, with an associated expansion of consciousness and is training under guidance from the higher soul directly. The baptism of the Lord, we will also soon celebrate, represents the first test of mastery of the waters of life, that myrrh, and the transfiguration, celebrated counter-traditionally a couple of weeks later, is about some mastery of the lunar and solar, the milky and golden, honey, amber energies. And all of these prepare the Christ for turning the water of life around, making an end of death at crucifixion. Incidentally, there are roughly 9 months between Easter and Christmas, so does each rising lead to a birth of a new Christ child? Once twice born, you can never be the same as the great mass of humanity, because for the first time you really know you are immortal and divine, that your actions have real and lasting consequences for good and ill for you. You may take many missteps, but perhaps for the first time you really know they are missteps. You're not just guessing or believing because a book told you. You have direct knowledge. And so for me, that is what we as a little church are about. Such direct knowledge. So, I leave you with this from the Odes of Solomon. The Lord is upon my head like a crown, and I shall not be without him. The crown of truth was woven for me, and it caused thy branches to bud in me. For it is not like a withered crown that buddeth not, but thou livest upon my head, and thou hast blossomed upon my head. Thy fruits are full grown and perfect. They are full of thy salvation. Alleluia. Thank you for your attention.